I would like to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Of all the disciplines of the Christian walk, perhaps the most important, the least practiced, and the least understood is prayer. Prayer is absolutely key in our success as children of God, both in the way we overcome the devil and battles that we may face, and in the way we overcome our own flesh. If there is one thing that the devil will try to undercut in your life, it is your time of prayer. He doesn't want you spending time with God. You become stronger. You better understand the purpose of the kingdom, and you gain wisdom and courage to resist the devil in your life. So Satan will do everything he can to fill your life with people, circumstances, and crises to eat up your time and keep you from your life of prayer and important time with the Lord. That is why every child of God must decide what part of the day they will give to God. It should be the time with the least amount of distractions, a time that will be regular from one day to the next. When should we pray? Don't wait 1 minute. Don't put it off. Often, people look for someone else to tell them what the best time of the day is to pray. No one must tell us when time to spend with our best friends. We look for every opportunity to be with the ones we love. Furthermore, when we meet with loved ones, we want no distractions. It should be the same thing with God. Be driven to prayer by your desire. Look for the times that give you the most freedom in your schedule and are virtually distraction-free. The time to pray is when you are alert and have least distractions. Now, I've heard many say, "I'm busy all the time. Kids, work, house duties. There's no time for prayer." Well, if you are too busy to talk to God, you are on a pathway to spiritual and emotional collapse. You will be drained in your emotions, and the roller coaster of life will begin to speed out of control. You must find time. You must make time. You decide whether to get up early or maybe go to bed later. You know when your mind is most alert. So put down the remote control. Hang up the telephone. Unplug the voices of our generation and make time to get alone with God. If you don't, you will be committing spiritual suicide. How long should I pray? Well, for right now, at least 6 minutes, right? We're in September. But the key is pray until you break through. Pray until you know you have touched God. Pray until something happens. Remember, prayer is an important part of keeping our friendship and relationship with God alive. When you call your best friend on the phone or spend time with a close family member, you don't stop to think, "Oh, how long should this call be?" Or, "How much time should I spend visiting my mother?" You relax, you spill out of your heart, you laugh a little, you cry a little, you talk seriously, and then when you're ready, you finish your visit. That is the way it should be with God. If we look at biblical examples, Daniel prayed 3 times each day. David rose early in the morning to talk with God and commune with him on his bed at night. He praised God all day long. Paul prayed without ceasing. These great men enjoyed relationship with God. For Daniel, it was regimented and disciplined. For David, it was like a continual song all day long. And Paul was so active in the work of the Lord that his prayer life remained constant and regular because of the intensities of his ministry battles. When you spend time with God, as you get to know him, your hunger and your desire to know him more will increase. At first, you may only pray 6 minutes because Pastor Debbie told you to do that. But then one day you will look up from your time of prayer and find that an hour has passed and you didn't even know it. Don't make 1 hour or 3 hours your goal in prayer. Make touching God your goal. And when you enjoy sweet communion with the Father, you have reached your goal for the day. Because I hear that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. What should I pray about? Well, some people make lists. The value in a list seems to be the ability to keep a record of God's answering prayers. Lists are a good place to start. But if we only pray through a list, our prayers can become mechanical and dry. Jesus, in fact, said not to make vain repetitions as the Pharisees did in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Perhaps Jesus was steering us away from religion of form and drawing us toward a walk of power. He wanted his disciples to know the Father as he did. Jesus prayed. He prayed with regard to specific cases. He prayed for direction. He prayed for blessing. He prayed for emotional strength. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed just to be in communion with his Father. Whatever was on his heart, Jesus brought it to God. That's life of communion with his Father. This was the source of power in his life. So this is the way a prayer should be for us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. You see, this verse shows the content of prayer. Everything that concerns us. And the goal of our prayer is peace, or knowing we have touched the living God. And the end result of a healthy prayer life is power. Sometimes we know exactly how to pray. We don't need a list. It's written in our hearts. But other times we may feel hindered in prayer. And that's when the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you. The Spirit searches the heart and begins to pray according to the will of God. If we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The important thing is not what comes out of our mouth, but what comes out of our heart. Prayer is spending time with God. Understand that good relationship involves two people giving and two people receiving. If you have a friend who does nothing but take from you, more than likely that friend is not high on your list, is it? Are they? If you want a close relationship with God, make sure you know how to give as well as receive. While it is true we can never outgive the Lord, remember, he longs for relationship. And a key part of our giving to him is our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship, and our love gifts. God inhabits the praises of his people. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to glorify God, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. He taught them to reverence God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught them to ask God, give us this day our daily bread. He taught them to repent to God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He taught them to commit to God and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he taught them to worship God. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This outline for prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. Remember, Jesus gave us an approach to God. He was showing his disciples how to enter into relationship with God. If you will notice, only a small portion of that prayer deals with needs. Much of that prayer involves praise, honoring God, and worshiping him. Our relationship with God is more important than relationship with other people. No one should hold greater respect in our hearts. Ours is a special relationship to be specially nurtured. What makes prayer powerful? This is an important question. Prayer can be mechanical and weak, or prayer can be powerful and effective. Get this, prayer cannot be powerful without faith. I'm going to repeat that. Prayer cannot be powerful without faith. For the word of the Lord says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. So you got to have faith. You got to believe. And like I shared with you on last week, we pray, we ask God to heal our loved ones. But God may heal them not in the way that we were expecting them to be healed. And I shared with you my little testimony with my friend who passed away. And I prayed. We were praying and praying and praying for her. But she passed away. But God healed her. We prayed for healing. God healed her. He gave her the ultimate healing. Kathy, we prayed for your sister. We prayed. We asked God to heal her. God has given her the ultimate healing. Because in heaven, there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. I know we hurt. We hurt because they're not here anymore. But they're with the Lord. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So Kathy, from me to you, celebrate. Deanna's with the Lord. She's in no more pain. She's not hurting anymore. She's there to watch over you from above. So remember, God will answer your prayers, but God knows best. God knows best. It may not turn out the way we want it, but God knows best. If Jesus is the door or the way to God, then faith is the key that unlocks the door to God. You and I should not even try to pray unless we pray in faith. The Bible says that faith believes that God is. This is fundamental. When we pray, get this, when we pray, we do not pray to a higher power. We do not pray to a higher force. We are praying to the eternal one and only true living God. Faith believes that God is. Faith believes that God rewards our diligence in prayer. And that is what we like to call confidence. I know God's nature and character so well that when I pray with confidence. James 1 and 17 lets us know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If I don't have this confidence when I pray, my prayer cannot be effective. I must not doubt. You must not doubt. I must pray in faith. You must pray in faith. Because James 5 and 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the Bible already says that our prayers are effective. So activate that effective prayer with faith. You see, the book of James mentions the one who doubts in prayer, calling that person unstable in all their ways. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, if a person is filled with doubt, his life will be unstable. So Satan loves to fill our hearts with doubt to weaken our faith. A weak, powerless Christian is no threat to the enemy's domain. So that old liar will put doubts about believers and God's faithfulness into your mind and into your heart. And those doubts are easy to recognize. Sometimes those doubts take on a form of worry. And I know we're all human, so we worry about things. But we should not worry. We should just take it to the Lord in prayer. In this condition, we can't pray in faith. When we worry, we can't pray in faith. Our prayer will be powerless. So how do you gain power in prayer? Build your faith. That is how you gain power in prayer. Build your faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let me close out this sermon with this true story. There was a man named George Mueller. One day, he looked down the streets of Bristol, England, and saw hundreds of homeless children. He was so moved with concern for them that he decided that something had to be done. He had only 2 pence in his pockets. That's 2 cents. He only had 2 cents in his pocket. But he decided to start an orphanage. In 60 years, beginning with 2 cents, George Mueller took care of 10,000 orphans. He looked out and saw homeless kids. He could have said, oh, but I don't have any money. There's no way for me to care for them or to meet their needs, to even buy them food. But instead, he looked at them and said, I will reach out and help them. And God blessed his efforts in a mighty way. He told amazing stories of answered prayers. He kept a record of his prayers, and his prayers record filled more than 3,000 pages. His notes showed that more than 30,000 prayers were answered. One night, there was no food in the orphanage to give the children for breakfast. But at 3 a.m. in the morning, a baker called him up and said, I just can't sleep. I'm going down to the bakery to bake some bread. Would it be all right for me to bring some over to you this morning? God is amazing. Amen. One time, a milk truck just happened to break down in front of the orphanage on a day when they had no milk. The truck driver came in and said, this milk is going to spoil. Would you like some of it? And their need was met time and time again. 30,000 times in 60 years, God answered George Mueller's prayers. So if you need more power in prayer, get alone with your Bible and start meditating on God's word. If you are sick in your body, get out all the verses you know about God's healing power. If your children are giving you problems, get out every passage you know that deals with children and family. Meditate on the word of God. Rehearse the verses that speak of God's mighty power. The Bible itself will be a daily source of energy for powerful prayers. Your faith grows through praying. The more you spend time in God's presence, touching God and receiving comfort from God, the stronger your faith and trust grows in your Heavenly Father. So I admonish you on this morning to pray without ceasing, for it is vital for your survival. That is the word of God this morning for you guys. Amen. So keep on praying. Keep on praying. It is so important.